It was summer of 2005. Anybody remember summer of 2005? Some of you are like, nah, I don't remember last summer. But summer 2005, I was a year out of high school. Don't judge me on my age. I know I look super young for my, anyways. I was about a year out of high school. I was working at Interstate Batteries doing a sales job. I was taking classes at Lone Star College over in the Cypress area, and I was living at home. I was living with my dad at the time, and if I could be honest with you, I was in this weird place where I felt unfulfilled. I felt a little confused as to what I'm supposed to do with my life. I was taking classes, but I wasn't really exactly leaning into school, we'll put it that way. I remember just kind of feeling like, man, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. And I think the biggest piece of that was I really had no aspirations for the future. I was kind of just moving day to day. And it was in that time that I was really wrestling with a question that I imagine many of us have wrestled with. And it's the question of, why am I here? What is my purpose? What is the point of being here? What am I supposed to do? And for me, it was in 2005. Maybe for some of you, it was further back. Maybe it was closer. But maybe for some of us, and I bet you in this room, it's possible that there's some of us that are kind of asking that question right now. That you may be younger, maybe you're in school, or maybe you're just out of school. Maybe you've been working for a long time, but you're still wrestling with this question, this thought, this idea of what am I supposed to do? Why am I here? The new year's here, right? It's 2024. Everybody's talking about New Year's resolutions and all the stuff they want to do, and you're just going, man, if I could just figure out why I'm supposed to be here, that might be helpful. And so I think it's very common that we will go through these seasons. We'll go through this question, and it's very common to struggle with that question, regardless of your age or stage, by the way. It's very common. And my hope today is to maybe possibly, as God leads, to help you with this question. Now, I know in this room particularly, we have a wide range of people in different places when it comes to the relationship with God. For some of us, we are Christ followers. We've given him our life, and man, we're doing our very best. We know we're not perfect. We're doing our best to follow him and to honor him. And so a question like this is intriguing because, man, what does God have to say? There's another group of us likely that either you're exploring faith, or maybe you've just given your life to Christ, and so you're kind of still figuring it out, but you're very intrigued and you're wondering, or maybe you've got a few more questions before you take that step and really give him your life. But then there's likely another group, and it's the group that really, and we're glad you're here, by the way. You're so welcome here. But it's man, I'm not really into the God thing. I'm not really sure I believe that thing. I'm just here maybe because I thought I'd start the new year differently. Or maybe someone dragged you here. Maybe there's a cute guy or a cute girl that brought you. You met them the other day and it sounded cool. It happens. Trust me, it happens. Whatever brought you here, okay, I just want to tell you that I think what you'll hear today might be helpful for you. And knowing that in this room there are those that are not walking with God, I just want to tell you this. What I'm going to do today is to present to you some thoughts on a person's purpose, your purpose, but through the lens and the perspective of God. And so if you're here today and you go, I'm not really into that, I'm not sure if God, I just want to encourage you to just listen, to give it a shot. Because I think what you're going to find, what I hope you'll be able to see, is that purpose and God are completely intertwined. In fact, I'm going to kind of argue to you a little bit today that I don't know if you can find your true purpose that leads to fulfillment away from God. So here's the question, or the thought I want to just lay out in front of you. It's this. What if your purpose in life is not your decision, but your discovery? Let that sink in for a second. What if your purpose in life is not your decision, but your discovery? Now, so often what happens when we begin to wrestle with purpose, we begin to think about purpose. Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? We begin to look in the mirror. That's usually the first place we go, symbolically, of course. Maybe for some of us, we actually did that. But we look in the mirror symbolically. We start to look internally and we go, well, what do I want to do? Where do I want to go? Or maybe you ask, what am I good at? And what happens when you ask that question is you begin to look within yourself to try to figure out your purpose. And though the reality is it comes from a healthy place, probably because you maybe are feeling some places of inadequacy, or maybe you feel confused and you'd rather find purpose and fulfillment. And so the desire is good, but the approach can be amiss. Think of it like this. How many of you ever grew up, and maybe you still do it as an adult, but let's just say it's only when you were growing up, you would daydream about being the hero. Am I the only one that's ever done this? Okay, apparently so. Cool. So sometimes in life, I will daydream about certain things. One example would be on an airplane. Sometimes on an airplane, I'll walk in and you pass by the little cockpit area where the pilots are, which is really small, by the way. I don't know how they survive in there on long flights. And I'll think about, man, if this plane ever went down, I like to believe that I'm the guy that would be happy to jump in that cockpit and save the day. Am I the only one? Thank you. Somebody's with me here. And I like to think that I've got the courage, the boldness, the bravery, maybe even the ingenuity to pull this thing off, and I would save you. And some of you are going, if I ever see you on a plane, I'm getting off before we take off, and I understand. But I'm just telling you, I believe in my mind that it would work. Now, let's just say by some crazy circumstance, the pilots couldn't fly the plane, whatever happened, and I'm the guy, and I jump in. Maybe you're the guy. You're the girl. You jump into the cockpit, and you go, okay, I see about 1,000 buttons I've never seen before, words I can't describe, but I'm going to do this thing. And so what are you likely going to do? You're going to grab the headset and you're going to throw it on, right? And you're going to see who's on the other end. And what you're going to find is on the other end is who? Air traffic control. An amazing group of people. They are masters at helping you navigate the skies, helping you find a runway to land on. But if I'm honest with you, and I think if you're honest with yourself, if you're sitting in the cockpit trying to fly this plane with 100 or so people behind you depending on you, the truth is, I don't know if I want to talk to air traffic control. I think I'd prefer to talk to the engineer of the plane. I want to talk to the person that built it. I want to talk to the person, or at least let me see the owner's manual, right? Probably not, because I don't read and fly, because I don't read and drive. So I don't think the owner's manual, but you get the point. See, I think what happens for a lot of us in life, we have a lot of great air traffic controllers in our life. Pastors, parents, mentors, influencers, whatever it may be for you. And these folks are tremendously helpful in our life. But when it comes to figuring out why we've been placed on this earth, they fall short. We want to go to the person that created us. We want to go to the God that designed not only us, but designed our purpose. And so with that, symbolically, we can also go to the owner's manual, the Bible. And I get not all of us are quite there yet, I understand. But if you're a follower of Christ, understand that the Bible is a guide for you to navigate life. Here's some things that it says. Let me help you with this. Psalm 139, 13 tells us that God created us. Look what it says. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that God designed you and I for a purpose. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Now, I think when we talk about purpose, because it's a pretty broad thing, you could break purpose down in a bunch of different categories, and many folks have gone well before me and done this, but I want today to focus on two categories of your purpose in life that I think can be helpful. The first one is this. The first purpose is universal. Our first purpose in life as Christ followers is to glorify God. To glorify God. That is number one. And this is universal. This is for all of us. I get it. If you're not a Christ follower yet, I understand you're just listening in. But for those that are following Christ, listen, your number one purpose is to bring God glory. It's to glorify Him with your life. Number two, this is where it becomes unique, is to help move the story of God forward. Now, some of you are going, I don't know if I understand this. I'm going to help you. This is unique. This is where your gifts and your talents and your placement and your family and your friends and your city, this is where all of these things begin to come into play. But if we simplified it, it's glorify God, universal. Move His story forward in a unique way that's unique to you and unique to me. Let's go back to Ephesians 2:10. Let's camp out there for just a second. Let me read the whole thing to you again. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Okay, so look at a couple words here. First, masterpiece. You are not an accident or some haphazard creation. Do you know that? Now, some of you would argue, wait a minute, listen, you don't understand. My parents told me I was an oops baby, all right? Like, I really wasn't planned. Here's the good thing, all right? And this is a big church word. But in the sovereignty of God, which means in His control over all things, He knew exactly what was going on. In fact, He allowed it to happen so we could be at that particular moment. So whatever your parents told you, don't worry about it. God knew what He was doing. You are His masterpiece, uniquely designed with inherent value. But then it says, He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. What does anew mean? Well, what He's saying is when you and I give our life to Christ, when we become Christ followers, we become, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, we become new creations. We become new people. That everything in our life begins to shift. That our focus, which was once usually about us or some other thing, begins to shift toward God. This is where we glorify God with our life. We have a new focus. We're a new creation. We're forgiven of our sin. It's a beautiful thing that only Christ can do. And then it says, so we can do the good things He planned. And for those of us that are exploring faith and maybe have questions, let me help you with one thing theologically that I think will be helpful. The Christian faith, there is nothing that you and I can do to be made right with God. Our good works fall short. So we don't do good works to be right with God. But once we are right with God, we do good works in honor of what He's done in our life. We're not saved by good works, but we're saved to do good works. And so as our life focus shifts, our life actions begin to shift. Now you walk in this building, some of us have been Christ followers for a long time. And go, I kind of feel beat up because I know I'm not quite honoring Him. The goal is one step at a time. What a great time in the new year to go, you know what? I know I can't change everything, but I'm going to lean into one area as God leads, and I'm going to try to focus in on that. One step at a time. But He has these good things planned. But then look at the last part, because this is tremendously helpful today. These good things He planned for us long ago. Listen, you have, and I know you may not believe this, and I get it. You have a specific purpose for your life. And God has planted you here right now to help fulfill that purpose. There is something He wants to do, or some things He wants to do in and through your life. However old you are, I won't ask anyone because that'd be embarrassing. However old or young you are, listen. Someone in here is 23 years old. I don't know. I'm taking a guess. Whoever that person is, 23 years ago, God said, I need that person in the world right now because I'm going to use him or her to do something, to help move the story forward, to meet the needs of people around them, to help their family. And I want them to be there. So 23 years ago, you were planned and made and born so that you could be here for this moment. Listen, that's for all of us. Your family, your friends, your coworkers, your gifts, your talents, they all come together and God puts them in there and then he places you out there to go and help move his story forward. But I want you to notice something. When you and I take those things, our family, our friends, our position, our gifts, our talents, and we use them for our benefit and our glory only, we miss out on the impact that can be made. Because God didn't give you or me those things so that we could be lifted up. He did it so that he would be lifted up. This is what it looks like when we say to help move the story of God forward. You make a ton of money? Wonderful. Keep making money. You have a lot of status, or you're famous, or you're an influencer, or whatever you are, keep going. Just remember, the point here is not to stop at the gifts or the talents, but to use the gifts or the talents to help point people to him, to help move his story forward. You've been positioned and maybe at Christmas you were reminded that your family is jacked up from the floor up. They're a mess and you don't even want to talk about them. But could it be, don't look at them right now, that'd be weird. Could it be that God planted you in that family so that you could actually help that family move forward? You got a terrible job. Better not be my staff. Your boss is horrible. Could it be that God planted you in that moment, in that season, so that you could help people not see you, but maybe see him and change the things they're struggling with in their life? This unique purpose, because I know some of you are going, okay, great. You got this really cool, broad, God's in control deal, which is 100% true. But could you just quickly tell me what my purpose is? Like, could that just be helpful? And I can't do that for you. In fact, I won't even try to do that for you. But I will give you a tip. You want a tip on purpose? I'm going to give you a tip on purpose. Take it or leave it. It may or may not even be true. You'll have to Google it later. That was a joke. Relax. Some of you are getting tense. Relax. Our unique purpose is often found in our pain and in our passions. Okay? So think about this for a minute. The things that you're passionate about. Either the things that excite you or the things that frustrate you. These are often a clue to your calling, a clue to your purpose. These are things God's put in you to help lead you in a certain direction. Many great businesses, many great inventions have come out of someone's passion. Either something that excited them or something that frustrated them. Think of Buc-ee's. Do you think they just wanted to be the best gas station on the planet? No. They were frustrated that restrooms were always disgusting when they traveled, so they thought, let's solve that problem. Sometimes the things that frustrate us could actually be a clue to something, a problem God's placed you on this earth to help solve. But then sometimes it's our pain. Sometimes it's our pain. It's the things that have happened to us, things that have happened around us, the tragedies of life that we could. Of course, we got to mourn through. Don't take this wrong. You got to mourn through and you got to process and heal through. But then God says, hey, let's take that pain now. Maybe see if we can turn it into some purpose. That happened to you and I didn't want that for you, but I got a plan. If you'll allow me, on day 20, I'm going to take all things and I'm going to work them for good. If you will allow me to work in that. So sometimes maybe some of you are looking for purpose and it might be sitting right in front of you through your pain or through your passion. So let's go back to summer 2005. There I was. I know you were all dying to hear what happened. That was a joke. Summer 2005. Working at Interstate Battery, taking a few classes. If we're being honest, I barely showed up to class. I just got to confess that because I'm on the stage in front of you. Barely showed up to class, but I was taking some classes. Interstate Batteries, living at home. And there was one thing I was good at that I left out. I was really good at having fun. And I was really good at bringing people together. Man, we could get a great party going. We could have a ton of fun. We'd made terrible decisions that we didn't want to talk about the next day. But man, could I rally a group of people. But you fast forward a little bit. Part of living with my dad, part of the deal was I had to start going to church. It was part of my rent. I had to go to church with them, which was a decent rent. I could survive 1 hour a Sunday. Started going to church. There were some roots in there already. Don't do that wrong way. But I started going to church. I started listening. I started processing. Then I started kind of being a part, just a little bit, a couple things here. Joined a men's Bible study with him, kind of a couple, And all of a sudden, over this process of time, God began to get a hold of my life. And in that process, what happened was I realized that this person here that I was and this person that I was hearing about that God desired for me to be were actually pretty far apart. And so what I discovered is, hey, if I could move away from this place in life and move toward this place in life, there could be some good that comes out of this. And so I started slowly to begin to align my life with the things of God. And then in the process, I started serving and volunteering. By the way, we're not about to ask you to serve. This is another message for another day. But I started serving and volunteering, and next thing I knew, I was able to take that skill of gathering people and having fun for all the wrong things and begin to use it for the right things. I started rallying people together, and we started doing Bible studies together, and we started playing sports together, and all these things kind of centered around God. And what happened? Fast forward, God moved me into a life call of serving Him as a pastor, which I've been doing for 15 years. That's not everybody's dream. I get it. Because the truth is, I didn't want it either. I did not wake up, grow up, and think, I'm going to be a pastor one day. That'll be awesome. That sounds great. It didn't sound great at all. Sounds weird. What do you do except that you only work on Sundays? That was the only part that sounded cool. That was a joke too, all right? That was a joke. My goodness. But can I tell you, though I never, ever, ever dreamed of being a pastor, now that I'm walking in this call, this purpose that I feel God has placed me here to do, I couldn't dream of doing anything else. Will I ever be rich, as we might describe it in the world? Probably not, unless I write a great book. You got ideas? Let me know. Probably not. Famous? No, probably not. But influential? Yeah. Listen, the thing is, the stuff that you and I want, the stuff that you and I chase, if it's not through the lens of God, it falls short. Because it's all about me. And it's all about you. And God says, I didn't place you here so that you could be lifted up. I placed you here so that you could help lift me up. Listen, my purpose, I found my purpose through two things: obedience to God and service to others. And though you may not be striving to be in vocational ministry or to become a pastor, and that's wonderful because we don't need any more pastors. We got, well, if you're not called to that, come for it. But we don't need a bunch of pastors. That's not the goal of this message. But those two things can really help us all. Obedience to God, glorify Him with our life, and service to others. Most of our purposes will be wrapped up in that. Something that's about others, not about me. Now, with that come some understandable questions. First one is, just a few. Why won't God just tell us what our purpose is? Isn't that a good question? Why can't He just, right now, so here's what we're going to do. You're going to open the envelope under your chair, and God has written. Like, wouldn't that be awesome? We all know we're good. Let's go. We can do this thing. We can honor Him. This is great. Like, God, why are you making this complicated? Well, here's the thought. If God just gave you your purpose, be honest with yourself. Don't raise your hand. Don't shout out. How many of us would actually follow Him? Like, if He bypassed the centering your life around Him and just said, go do this, how many of us would actually center our life on Him still? Now, I know all of us would like to say, well, I would. I'd be the exception, and maybe you would. But I think there's something to this, that God understands, man, I first need you to align your life with me. And then in the process of that, I'll unveil all these other things to you. There's something to that. And you know how I know? Because I've even seen people that have aligned their life with God, that have found their purpose in Him, and yet still found a way to make it all about them again. And most of them fall. If not now, then later. So there's something to this going after part one before you get into part two. But here's a couple other quick things. One, our purpose is dynamic. As you move through life, it will shift a bit. It'll expand, it'll shrink, you become parents, purpose changes a little bit, you've got this new element of this opportunity to impact others, your job, your career expands or it retracts, maybe you retire, maybe tragedy happens. So there's some dynamics to it, It won't always stay the same, but number one never changes. And if number one drives everything in category number two, you'll be okay. The other thing, though, is that you and I have the choice to deny or derail our purpose. God does not want, and somebody here needs to hear this today, God does not want robots. He does not make us do whatever he wants us to do. And he could. If the God we're talking about is as real as we say, he could make you and I do whatever he wants. But he loves us enough to say, hey, I'm going to lay this path in front of you that I think will be tremendously helpful because I wired you for it. I know the impact you can make, but I'm still going to give you the choice. So you have the power to say, oh, I'm not interested. And some of us begin to ask, well, will I still be happy? Will I still make money? Will I still be famous if I don't go his way? And the answer is you could, maybe, some do. But the better question is, will you be fulfilled? And I think the answer to that is no. You may find happiness. You may find happiness for a short time. But fulfillment, I believe, is found in walking in the purpose that God has created you to walk in. You also have the power to derail it. In that same vein of being able to choose, you have the power to derail your purpose. Now listen, you can't derail what God's going to do in this big world, but you have the choice with the actions of your life. I have the choice with the actions of my life to derail the purpose right now. The decisions we make, it matters. Case in point, before we focus on two, we got to focus on one. Glorify God with my life. And in the process of that, trust he'll bring it along. Last night, we watched something epic. Did anybody watch? What happened? I won the lottery. It was amazing. Just kidding. And by the way, I just want to say right now, and I hope they're recording this, I get feedback sometimes because people tell me I talk too much about the Texans. And you know what I got to say to them? I got a story about the Texans. That's what I got to say about that. Anyways, that was free. If you're visiting, just ignore that. Last night, we watched the Houston Texans make it into the playoffs. And it was amazing. It was amazing. You can clap for that. God's still greater than the Texans, for those of you that are nervous right now. Trust me. But I want to show you something incredible that happened last night. So we watched this game. Some of you watched it. Some of you just found the score. I know you guys. You just wake up in the morning, make sure you saw the highlights. Pretend you watched it. I get it. We watched this game. C.J. Stroud, number 7, our quarterback. For those that don't understand football, he threw passes last night that don't make sense. Off his back foot on the flip of a wrist. Okay, I'm not going to go any further than that, but it was a great. His talent was on full display. But did anybody keep watching when the game was over? Anybody catch his interview afterwards? That young man. And I know, listen, there's a lot of athletes that give glory to God, okay? And I shouldn't do that. I'm sure they mean it. I was so close. Babe, I'm sorry. I was almost there without any problems. Okay, hey, cut that part. Just cut that part out. We'll be all right. However, that young man, genuinely, because he's been doing it all season, all right, gave the Lord credit.
CJ, welcome to the playoffs. How does that sound to you?
Man, it's a blessing. I can't do nothing but just thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, man. I'm sorry. I put a lot of work in. My team has everybody counting us out from the start, so man, it's just special to see the city of Houston just on the come up again. And I'm just blessed enough to be the vessel that Christ picked to lead this great franchise. So I can do nothing but just thank the Lord.
I'm just curious. We could see you writing something on your wristband as you came out of the tunnel to start the game. What was it?
Yes, ma'am. I put a lot of stuff, but I put a cross, triple sevens, and then to the glory of God. And then I put Proverbs 3:5-6, which is my favorite scripture, made for this. I put STM, which is my group of friends back home, and I put Long Live S3, my cousin who passed away that introduced me to football. And then I put the Inland Empire, where I come from.
CJ, you introduced yourself to a national NFL audience tonight. Just what do you think that you showed everyone?
I think it's not me. It's my teammates, my linemen. My receivers running great routes, my running backs doing their job, our tight ends, our defense being very great. It's not just me out there. But I think tonight we showed the world what the Texans can do, and we're going to continue to do that.
That young man deflected the praise that was coming his way and pushed it to the Lord first, to his support team, and to his team, his family and friends, and his team, his players. And I'm not saying all that stuff is a lot, but what I'm saying is this is the perfect example of what we're talking about. That young man's talent was on full display. God has gifted him, may not be the best quarterback ever, but time will tell. But he is an elite quarterback. He has a talent. And you go, what does that have to do with God? He gets it. In front of millions on prime time, they asked him about how great he was and how did you do that and what did he do? He deflected to God. Why? Because in front of millions, he had the opportunity to take all the glory himself or to help move the story of God forward. This is what I want you to see. All of us have that opportunity. You have the opportunity to take it all in for yourself. To go make all your money and all that. And guess what? When you die, the money will stay and you will go. You have the opportunity to be glorious and famous. But let me ask you a question. How many of you can name your great-great-grandfather? Tell me their name. No one. Okay, good. I was hoping someone didn't spit that out. Right? Because you're going to be forgotten. You will be forgotten unless you start some business that lasts forever. But even you will be forgotten. Name the first guy that opened up Chick-fil-A. You probably can't, and if you can, it won't be long until you can't. Why? Because there will be others that come after and come after. What you and I need to understand, we are vapors. We are a mist. We are only here for a short time. If you want your life to matter, if you want to make a difference, understand your first job is to glorify God with your life, and in the process of glorifying God, watch as he begins to unfold to you how he wants to use you to help not move you forward, but to move his story forward. Some of you will be placed in some high places, and it'll be a high responsibility, but in that you'll have the opportunity to show the world who your God is, and that story moving forward is far more important than anything you or I could accomplish on our own. So why are you here? To glorify God and to uniquely move his story forward. I'm going to pray that all of us would discover exactly what that is tangibly. And trust me, God wants to show you. He doesn't want to keep it from you, but he wants to make sure you align with him first, so that he can bring everything else second. Because what he doesn't want is for you to derail this thing because you went and did it for yourself. Praise God, he's bigger than all of that. Where some of us are walking in that right now, he's bigger than all of that. He's still in control and he's going to make it happen. But isn't it so much better to be a part of it rather than something taken away from it?